reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. I'm reading from the Common English Bible. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came near and spoke to them, "I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated. You could remain standing if you want to, but I would not recommend that. Thank you for the invitation to be here. Beth is going out on a limb to have me come and speak. I've brought Jay Harvey, who is the student president of Toledo Campus Ministry Fellowship. You'll hear some from her as well. But thank you for your support in campus ministry. Thank you for your witness to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Beth and I have a relationship through my dog. Zyka is my dog, and I was getting ready to leave town for a week, and she and her family hosted my dog for a week. Spoiled her rotten, but it was good. I'm here to talk about saints. Living the baptismal life. And as Beth was back there giving the children's sermon, I thought of Tony Campalo, an evangelical character, tells the story that he was at his church where the preacher was talking to the high school graduates. And he started by saying, "You're gonna die. You're all going to die. They're going to bury your body, and they're going to put your body under 6 feet, and then everybody else is going to go back to church for potato salad. But you're going to die." And so he was asking, and what will remain? Will you have a title, or will you have a testimony? So we're talking about living the baptismal life. I'm going to ask you, as Lutherans, I'm Presbyterian, so please forgive me. Just tolerate me. I'm going to ask you to do something maybe a little different. I'm going to ask you to move in church.
Is that okay?
All I want you to do, raise your hand if you have been baptized. All right, thank you. So that's not so bad, moving in church, is it? Okay. But I want to know, how do people know that you're baptized? I don't go up to people and say, "Hi, my name's David. I've been baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ." How do people know that your baptism has affected your life, or has it affected your life? I was in Montreat, North Carolina at a preaching and worship conference, and the Lutheran minister there told the story on Martin Luther, who every morning would wake up, splash his face with water, cross himself, and he would say, "I am baptized." And in that, he would have the confidence to know that God is with him, holding him, giving him confidence to go into the day. And each night, as he laid down, he would cross himself, and he would say, "I am baptized." Reminding himself that the sin that he had created that day had been washed clean, that he was a new creature, and he could rest the night to gain the strength to face the next day. I am baptized. What does that mean? What does that mean? The preacher also at this conference posed a question that has haunted me, because she said this about 15 years ago. Where have you stood in your baptismal power? Baptismal power? What are we even thinking? But how have we stood and said, "I am baptized"? I began campus ministry 25 years ago. The first 20 years I was in Murray, Kentucky at Murray State University. And we would do all sorts of mission trips and service projects. And then I came here 5 years ago with the Ecumenical Campus Ministry, Toledo Campus Ministry, of which EELCA is one of our partners. And in our service, one of our mottos is where faith and action meet. A lot of people say, David, I would rather see a sermon than hear a sermon any day. And I've seen many sermons from these students. When we were in Murray, we went up to New York and served gourmet meals to AIDS victims in their homes. We took 27 students last year to Black Mountain Children's Home to work on various projects that they had, but to play with the kids. This coming year, we're going to do 3 different mission trips. One will stay here in town and do a poverty immersion with Reverend Steve North. One group is going to Houston to work with hurricane relief. The other is going to Appalachian to work with Christian Appalachian Program to do building renovations. But during the weeks, also, last 2 weeks ago, we were downtown with Tent City. And we recently went to help 2 churches with Trunk or Treat. I think they went for the candy. If you still need some more candy, come by the Ark. There's still quite a bit left. Well, at least it was last night. So as we are working, we why do we do this? Why are we involved in campus ministry? Why are we even interested in what college students are doing? Well, Jay is going to come and she's going to read a testimony from one of our other students, Allison. Allison is a chemical engineer student, a sophomore. Very, very, very quiet. But here's the depth of her testimony. Jay.
Good morning. TCM has done so much for my life. When I was in high school, I never really had anything like this group or somewhere where I felt like I fit in. When I got to the University of Toledo, I didn't know anyone. I felt alone and sad a lot in the first couple weeks of school. Sundays were the worst days because I had to come back to Toledo from being at home and no one was here to talk to me. Until I started going to TCM, I didn't really have any friends, but when I got there, everyone was extremely friendly and welcoming. What makes this group extremely special is they don't judge you for anything and will welcome you as you are. Everyone is there to love you, give you a hug, and ask about your day. I needed a group like this my whole life because I felt a lot like quitting and not wanting to live anymore. But looking back and seeing where I am now, I'm so happy that I am still here. I have a good life, and TCM is a big player in that. I have so many friends from TCM, and I look forward to all the events, seeing my friends, and meeting new people. When I was elected to be on the leadership team, I didn't think I could do it. But I'm really glad I did because it has changed me so much knowing I am doing something important. I want to try to be as accepting as I can and loving to every person that walks through the doors of the Ark. I have overcome some of my fears, like talking to new people, and I have done things I did not think I could do. Our leadership team went on a retreat this summer. I climbed up a 45-foot pole and then proceeded to jump off of it. As I started climbing, the doubts started to come into my mind that I would not be able to make it all the way up and I might hurt myself. Then everyone started encouraging me to keep going and that I could do it. Once on top, I was proud and excited. I screamed so loud and started crying. The biggest leap of faith was next. I needed to trust the people on the ground. I jumped and they caught me. Yay. It was an amazing experience that I never thought I would have. I am so thankful to be a part of TCM. I am a different person because of this group, and I cannot wait to see what's next. I have an amazing life, and TCM plays a big part in this. This is an amazing group of people that I love, and I'm so happy to call them family. Thank you.
So whether you know it, your support of campus ministry literally saved Allison's life. You are that important. What you do. I've seen intimidated, self-centered, insecure, selfish young adults grow in their faith and their understanding of who they are so that they can then reach out to others and provide services. I want to share with you that in 1992, John Mulder, who was the president of Louisville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, and his colleagues collaborated on a book called The Reforming Tradition, looking at the mainline Protestant churches that ELCA is part of, and looking at what is the church going to look like in the future. Now, this was written in 1992, and so we are the future. But they concluded this book, or these four volumes. I don't recommend you read all four volumes, but their conclusion is eye-opening. Perhaps, they conclude, perhaps the most important mission field of the church in contemporary America is the college campus. Let me say that again. Perhaps the most important mission field of the church in contemporary America is the college campus. For they point out, college years are usually the time when young adults drift away from previous church involvement. And they go on to conclude, higher education is the most visible area of American society in which the mainstream Protestantism has seen itself disestablished. I wonder if the churches have heard this message. I know that when I went off to college, I was thrown into a new world, and I ran to the church. But as we look today, many, many are baptized in the church, confirmed in the church, blessed to go off to college, never to be seen again. So the rub for us is at our baptism. We're making vows to those children, to those parents, that we will love and nurture and grow this child in the admonition of the Lord. But the rub is our vows don't stop when they get their driver's license. It doesn't stop when they graduate from high school or go on to college. In fact, in light of Mulder's observations, they may be more critical at times when they are in college than at any other time in their lives. I love these students. I do. But I promise you, I would not want to be in college in this day and time. With the way the world is happening around us and the questions and the economic situations that they're finding with them, I am glad I can walk with them. But it is no easy task. I've heard a recent study that is very, very disturbing. The Pew Research community put together interviewed thousands of students between ages 16 and 29 and found out that 38%, that's almost 4 in every 10, person in America between 16 and 29 are hostile to the church. Not bored with, not apathetic. They don't like us, the church. So I'll raise the question, what are we doing with our baptismal vows to love and nurture and hold these students? Because these young people are then saying the church is hypocritical. It's judgmental. It's homophobic. It's power hungry. It's concerned about only itself. So friends, if we are living out our baptismal vows and being the saints that we are called to and having a testimony instead of a title, then perhaps we need to look at what we are doing and what is the image we want to portray. Who has Christ called us to be? You heard the passage in Deuteronomy that Moses is being told to make sure that everyone knows to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and to teach that to your children. And Jesus tells us after his resurrection, when he comes back and is visiting with the disciples, getting ready for the ascension, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. So these two heroes in our faith are telling us that we need to get off our duffs and we need to be out showing love. But I'm wondering if we really have heard that message, or would we prefer the message that Jesus says in other gospels? Shh, don't tell anyone. So this is a time for us as the saints of Saint Stephen to renew our baptismal vows, to know that we are baptized and we have baptized others in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that they will live rich and full lives. You heard Allison's testimony, one that saved her life because there were people who did not judge her and held her in love. Now, you wouldn't have believed that this quiet little student, a chemical engineer, was so vibrant. Is that the right word for Saturday night? A Friday night, we were on a retreat, and at midnight or 12:30, we were playing some games, and she really came alive. It was a lot of fun. But living the baptismal life is being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Living the baptismal life is living a life of service that in an inclusive worshiping community, sharing life in which love, justice, and mercy abound. It sounds a lot like me, living like a saint. There was a young girl who went into a cathedral with her father and saw the stained glass all the way around, and there was Saint Stephen, Saint Andrew, Saint Michael, Saint Timothy. And the father asked her, "Well, who do you think a saint is?" And she said, "I see that a saint is one who lets the light of God shine through." Saints of Saint Stephen, you are those saints where the light of God can shine through you, that you will demonstrate a love and an acceptance of who you are and who they are. And together we can make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, with the promise that Jesus Christ will be with us at all times. So thank you. Thank you for your commitment to Jesus Christ. Thank you for your involvement with lives that you have not even met. But know that the work that you do is blessed by our Lord Jesus Christ, who commands us to go. Go. Thanks be to God.